Hey guys, and welcome to the next episode of the Checks and Balance Podcast. I'm your host, John Abruzzi. It's been a crazy week this week in the political world. I don't know about you guys, but my head spins with the way the political cycle is always shifting in the political arena. I mean, we had the Electoral College was finalized on Monday. Barr resigned. We have a food shortage problem around the U.S., email investigation going on with Trump and the HHS, where him and his team had a whole scheme to get everybody infected. I guess the youth will be going over that. And then there was a cyber attack on us that no one knew about, and Trump is being silent on. Also, we got a Senate trying to work on a bill, trying to get a little stimulus package passed. This is Monday through Friday this happened. I mean, this is crazy, crazy shit. I cannot wait till next year, January 20th, when we can get back to a normal life of in the political world, and not so have so much bullshit going on. But before we get into any of the political stuff, I promised you guys I really want to start talking about financial stuff. I want to talk this week. I really want to talk about the tax debt that I'm in. I want to educate you about that. I got into tax debt from being a 1099 worker, which is basically an independent contractor. When I was in my 20s, I worked for a nursing facility, and they offered 1099, and I took it up. I thought it was the greatest thing in the world. I get my whole check, no taxes off, no taxes out, and I would pay it down the road. Well, when tax season came, I actually never really paid them. I never did my taxes, and this continued year after year after year. I never thought nothing of it. Well, one day I switched jobs, and I figured out, I got older and I matured, and I figured out, you know what, I need to switch over to W-2. So I switched over to W-2. Lo and behold, a couple months later, I get a tax a letter in the mail from the IRS that we're going to start garnishing your wages if you don't start paying us the taxes you owe from the previous years. I was shitting my pants. So I called them up, and I got on a payment program before they contacted my work. It was the biggest mistake in my life once I figured out how much I owed. I owed about, I think it was about 18 grand altogether after all the years, the penalties, and everything else. As of year to date, I owe, because I just got this in the mail, I wanted to share with you guys, I owe $11,966 still. I'm going to be paying down this debt for a long, long time. I advise anybody, if you're working 1099, make sure you do your taxes, you save, and you put it away. Because this is no joke, man. They will eventually come and get that money from you. The funny thing I see about this here is, not funny, but the interesting thing here is I owe a lot of this shit is in interest payments. I mean, from 2012 interest charges to date, I owe $956. From 2015 tax year, I owe $1,151 in tax charges. 2016, I have $403. That's just tax charges from me not paying my taxes on time. Now, that is crazy. So I'm basically paying money that I've already used that I don't have right now. That I'm owing money back, and I'm paying interest on that. I see the interest charges here are 3%, and I'm going over the paperwork. I have it right here in front of me. The interest charges are 3%, but the funny thing here, it says interest rates are variable and may change quarterly. So these interest rates are compounded quarterly. So thank God, I guess, right now interest rates are low, because if they were lower, I mean higher, I probably would not be getting this 3% charge. Yeah, because see, I see interest rates from back then were 5, 6%. Yeah, now they're at 3. See? So I advise you, if any of you 1099 workers, gig workers, if you're working an independent contractor, you get on your taxes. That is the most important thing. You don't want to fall in a hole like me, paying a couple hundred bucks a month out of your check for money that you already used and don't have. You're paying your tax debt back, and on top of your tax debt, you're paying the interest debt back. So what I did is I called them up. When I shit my pants and realized all this, I called them up and got myself onto a payment plan. And now I pay about $250 a month on one check. But that goes, a lot of it goes to interest charges besides the balance. So what I do is when I have extra money, I make work a couple extra hours that month, I'll send more money in so it lowers that balance, because you got to remember they're compounding this thing quarterly. So if you can lower that balance to get that cut, you know, get that down, it won't be as much when they compound it quarterly, because the whole thing is they're compounding that balance every single time, 3%, 3%. Compounding it. Every time they compound at 3%, that next month that interest is added to that balance and then compounded again every month over and over again. So you're just incurring interest charges up the ass, and it is not the way to go. So I advise everybody out there, don't be a young knucklehead like me and learn down the road that that was a mistake you made, because that is something I made, and I am deeply, deeply pissed off that I made it. But you know, you're young, in your 20s, you enjoy the money, you enjoy not having to pay taxes, you think nothing's gonna happen, oh, and you think they're gonna be small amounts. Well, these are big amounts. These are bigger than you would expect. And if you're not working, you know, if you already don't make as much, and if you have to pay back $213 of your check every month, that's $213 you are spending towards money you've already, you know, that's owed, you've already used, that you could be spending now on bills and future things and stuff that you want. You would have a little bit more freedom. But instead, you're stuck paying back your mistakes. So you never really want to pay back your mistakes. Any way you can get out of this issue, out of this problem, the IRS will always find you. No matter what. I always tell people, oh, you know, even they're doing the unemployment fraud, they will find you eventually. You know, it may take them five years to catch up with you, or you may do something that, like I did, switch from, you know, 1099 W-2, you know, throw them a red flag in their system, and bam, you'll get a letter in the mail. They'll eventually come. The IRS, they got Al Capone. So if there's one thing in this world that I've learned, America, they give a fuck about their money. They will come and get it. So I advise all of you guys, stay up with your taxes. Do not fall behind. And if you're 1099, save some, put some away. You know, put some in a savings account, put it aside. That's what I do now. I have a savings account and put extra money aside. You know, getting a little bit of interest on it. And if you don't trust yourself, you can always put it into a short-term T-bill, CDs. You know, you can kind of lock it up. Short-term stuff. If you don't want to, you know, touch it, and you don't trust yourself to not spend it. So you can do stuff like that. There's a lot of avenues to kind of safeguard yourself from spending it. You know, you can kind of lock it up in short-term investments, investment securities, and you'll have that money for when you need to pay your taxes. Or so whatever you do, figure out a plan, figure out a savings to get yourself prepared if you're a 1099 worker, because you do not want to get a letter talking about garnishing your wages. Because at that time, you're going to be shitting bricks, and then you're going to be setting yourself on a payment plan. And it's like a car payment. You're going to be paying for a long time. So I advise you guys to stay up on that. Well, besides that, let's start getting into the political world now, huh? Let's get into the topics of the week. The craziness that goes on in Trumplandia. This Monday, the Electoral College has been finally finalized. Each state got their electors, they finalized, they put the votes in, and now they've been counted. And the electoral states have voted in Joe Biden as the 46th president of the United States. The funny thing is, I was watching this go on, and then I saw some crazy nutbags in front of a Supreme Court building, and I was thinking, what the hell is going on? I guess this is in Michigan. There was people trying to go where the electors for Joe Biden were trying to cast their votes. I guess the Michigan Republican electors were trying to act as Democrat electors, and they were trying to convince the security guard to let them in so they can, cast a vote for Trump. I mean, we got some crazy nutbags out there in this world. This shit is not going to end. When Trump's out of office, this shit is going to freaking continue. We have a long road to hoe. I mean, this is insane. You got people that know he lost, and you got the electors still trying to figure out a way to, even if Michigan went down, let's say they somehow figure out a way to get in there and trick everybody there, which I don't see how. They would need a lot more states, because even if Michigan went down, Joe Biden would still be ahead. So I don't really understand the thinking in that. So teach his own. They can do whatever they want in Michigan. It's fucking retarded because it didn't work. But I'm happy to see that it was actually finalized by the state. Now, the next step is on, I think it's the 6th. Yeah, the January 6th, it needs to be finalized by the Senate. So the Senate is going to finalize the electoral college that each state just individually finalized, and they're going to basically say Joe Biden is the president and going on the 20th. The funniest thing is, the one that holds this meeting is going to be Mike Pence. So he's the one that's going to be holding the gavel and announcing that Joe Biden will be president. That'll be interesting and funny to watch if you guys want to check that out. But the interesting thing here is, a lot of people talking about there might be objections, which, I mean, I could see a couple of senators, you know, trying to show faith to their base and maybe to their loyal and dear leader, Donald Trump. I could definitely see Ted Cruz throwing an objection, maybe Ron Paul from Kentucky, maybe Lindsey Graham. I don't know, maybe Josh Holloway from Missouri, maybe even John Kennedy from Louisiana. Maybe somebody might try to throw up an objection and see if the Electoral College was illegitimate, but it's not going to work, because the funny thing is I've looked into it, to have an objection and have worth meaning anything, you actually need the House and the Senate majority vote. Confirm your rejection before they even move on it. And if you don't have 2/3 vote in House or majority or in the Senate, then House or Senate, then guess what? Your objection is not valid. So I really like that. I learned that from, I went to this, the constitutioncenter.org, and they gave a little explanation. Objections, let's see what it says here. Objections at the meeting about the electors will be settled using a process established by the electoral count. Oh, wait, hold on. Now, this is what I wanted to read. Objections to individual state returns must be made in writing by at least one member, each of the Senate and House representatives. If an objection meets these requirements, the joint session recesses and the two houses separate and debate the question in their respective chambers, meaning the House and Senate, for a maximum of 2 hours. So they debate for 2 hours. The two houses then vote separately to accept the rejection, to reject or accept the objection. They then resemble in joint session and announce the results of their respective votes. An objection of state's electoral vote must be approved by both houses in order for any contested votes to be excluded. So if they want to throw out these votes, these people that are going to probably object, there's one key factor. Okay. So we know they got the Republicans got the Senate. Well, the Republicans do not have the House. And you, right there, it states you need two chambers. Well, who owns the House? That is the Democrats. So no matter how hard they try, they will not be able to overturn any state electoral votes. So when you see these people on January 6th, they know this. You know, the Ted Cruz's, the Rand Paul's, the Graham's, the Holloway's, the Kennedy's, whoever. Even the House, Senate, whoever you see, they know this rule. They know they need a majority from the chamber, both chambers. They know they don't run the Senate or the House. So it's just going to be a dog and pony show. They're doing it for one person. It's Donald Trump. I mean, well, they're probably also doing it maybe to bow down to their sycophant or to their constituents. But, I mean, it's going to be embarrassing if they do, because they know it's going nowhere. These are, you know, elected officials. You know, they should know the Constitution. They should know the law. They should understand this shit's going nowhere. They're going to prolong it, you know. They can go in their two-hour sessions. They can make it as long as they want. They can drag it out even longer. But guess what? After those 2 hours are done, after they do all their voting and they're counting on both chambers, you already know what the House is going to come out. You know, even the Senate is probably not going to go for it. You got a bunch of senators that have already said Joe Biden's the winner. So, I mean, you might even have a fight in the Senate. So, I don't see that going anywhere. But good luck with those that are going to try, those senators that want to deface themselves and show themselves to be very weak morally and politically, because they know that they're just doing it for Donald Trump. I mean, I don't understand how a lame duck president, right now that's what Donald Trump is, a lame duck president, because everyone knows that Joe Biden's going to be coming in January 20th. How does a lame duck president have so much freaking power? Tell me this. How does he have so much power over the Republican Party? Because you know why? They know Donald Trump ain't going nowhere. Even outside, he's still going to be tweeting. He's still going to have that base. He's still going to have those people by the balls. So he's going to have a lot of senators still bent over and still following him outside. So this disease that we're fighting, and not just the, it's not just the coronavirus we're fighting. We're fighting Trumpism disease, and it's going to be a lot longer. I think we're going to end coronavirus before we end Trumpism, because Trumpism ain't going to end until he dies. So we're going to be fighting these senators and these people that support these senators and keep voting them in. Until we change that, this Trumpism shit is going to keep going. You're gonna have electors going up to buildings that they know they have no business going into, knocking on doors, thinking they're gonna vote Biden in or vote Trump in. And yeah, so welcome to 2020, guys. And it ain't gonna end there. Well, let's go on to another thing that actually happened this week that I find very interesting. Was Barr resigned, huh? Did you guys see that? Attorney General William Barr resigns effective December 23rd, huh? So he's going to be escaping out of there. I don't understand. I know him and Barr are on the outs now, because Barr said the Electoral College was fair. He didn't see any voter fraud, any mail-in voter fraud. And he told the truth. When you tell the truth, you piss off the kingmaker. Donald J. Trump. You piss him off, you're on the bad side. I mean, I'm guessing that's why he resigned. Which I find very funny, because if you remember, I mean, Bill Barr has been his, I mean, toilet paper for a long time. He has been, you know, the dog on the leash. He's been his guard dog, his pit bull for forever. I mean, we saw what happened in the Mueller report when he said that no evidence of wrongdoing was found, and that was not exactly what Mueller said. He couldn't really decide. That wasn't really his decision. That was actually up to the House and Senate. But we knew the Senate wasn't going to move on that, being a sycophant to Donald Trump. So he knew he had leeway there to misconstrue the report and say whatever the fuck he wanted. So that was some bullshit. Then he defended him, and you know, he defended Donald Trump in the mail-in ballot before the mail-in ballot scheme before the election. He also was talking about how all these mail-in ballots were going to be fraudulent, and there's going to be massive fraud, and we weren't going to figure things out. He also, before the election, was saying all this crap, defending him every which way. I mean, he helped his friends with the court cases, Roger Stone, you know, Flynn, what's his name, Paul Manafort, getting him on house arrest. I mean, he's helped them every which way. You turn on him one single time by telling the truth that the electoral, that the voting system was fair and everybody's votes counted. You know, that goes against Donald Trump's narrative, and bam, you're on the outs. So Barr knew this. So that's probably why he resigned. He probably didn't want to get fired by tweet and be rated over Twitter. But it is what it is. You know, he signed a deal with the devil. He knew what Donald Trump was before he signed on the job, and he still took it. He signed up to kiss dear leader's ass, and now he's going to pay the consequences. His history in history, I think, is not going to be kind to him. So he's going to be someone to be keeping an eye on. He's probably going to switch his ways down the road and say, you know, negative things. Watch for his book. You know, he'll try something. But Bill Barr, we'll always remember who you were. You were a sycophant to Donald Trump, and you always will be, no matter if you try to switch up down the road. So it is what it is, Barr. So I can't wait to see who our next attorney general is. It's going to be someone that's going to probably beat up someone that's just going to do whatever the hell Donald Trump wants, because Donald Trump's on his way out. And he's got 30-something days left, and he's going to try to do anything. It's probably, I think, I had a theory, maybe, who knows, but it has maybe something to do with the pardons, because, you know, the attorney general is going to be the one that's going to have to sign off on these pardons, and maybe Bill Barr's not going to want to be part of the pardons that he sees coming down the road here, you know. Trump family, probably all of them. Maybe even Trump tried to pardon himself. He's going to probably pardon Roger Stone, Paul Manafort, you know, everybody he can in sight. Maybe even his finance people at his businesses, everybody. You know, anybody he can, you know, this is the time to pardon. So maybe, you know, maybe Bill Barr just had enough, and maybe that's where the line is for him, the pardons. Who the fuck knows? But in my eyes, he's still an idiot. He still did what he did. He's a liar, and this is what it is. So, before we go to a little break, I was reading this thing earlier too during the week. U.S. faces shortage of up to 8 billion meals in next 12 months, leading to food leading food bank says. Wow, so food banks are running out of fucking meals already. I mean, we are the leading country, highest GDP. We run shit. We got all the money. We are the number one currency. Everybody uses our money. And, I mean, we got billionaires and trillionaires, and we got a food shortage. We got people. Have you seen the lines in Texas lining up for these food banks? I mean, you got football fields and fucking car parking lots just filled with people trying to get food. I mean, this is disgusting, man. And we got the federal government trying to argue over $600, $1,200 to give to as a direct payment to citizens. I mean, give me a fucking break, guys. Like, what the fuck? We're short on food, and people are short on money. They're short on rent. And we're sitting here arguing over $600 to $1,200. I went over last episode, you saw other countries getting fucking getting stimulus monthly. And our government giving us one $1,200 check over 9 months. So, I mean, this is ridiculous. A food shortage. I mean, in this article is a guy, Bill Blackburn, talking. He lost his job from a telecommunications place on April 18th. He lives with his wife, Mary, and two younger daughters in Weymouth, Massachusetts. This is a Washington Post article, by the way, that I was reading. He talks about his hardships and everything. I thought that it was crazy. And then I'm going to read a little snippet from it. At 41, Black Mirror says he's been through quite a bit. His wife has a disability, and he has been primarily the breadwinner for a number of years. He has suffered from anxiety and depression for some time. Once taking unpaid leave for hospitalization. Since losing his job, he has liquidated his 401k, used his $1,200 stimulus check to pay down some bills, and opted into a special payment plan with his mortgage lender. But even with the extra $600 per week in unemployment that CARES Act provided, things have been tight. I mean, see, guys, there's people still struggling. They've liquidated their 401k, sunk all their $1,200 into their bills. They're getting into a mortgage plan, so they're probably getting into a mortgage debt, extending their bill, sending it to a longer loan. You know, interest is probably going to go up on that. It's probably going to be a variable interest, so they're actually going to be paying more money in the long run before, you know. And we're fighting over $600 and $1,200. This is fucking amazing. I mean, we got people struggling here. We got our federal government needs to figure fucking some shit out, because I know the rent moratorium, that is, to be honest, not a fucking good way either, because you're sticking them again with rent payments down the road. They're not going to be able to afford. They're going to have to pay their original rent and their back rent. So, I mean, guys, we got to figure something out. State and local government, I mean, state and federal government need to get the act together, work together. So January 20th, hopefully that'll happen. Get this food shortage that we got going on here taken care of, so people are not fucking liquidating their 401ks and fucking trying to put food on the table and putting mortgages on the back burner. So when interest rates rises, their fucking payments are probably going to rise too. So, but we're going to go on a little break here and pay some bills, and I will catch you on the other side. Hey guys, welcome back. Let's get into a little something. There's been something shocking actually going around in the news this week, I guess. One of Trump's HHS appointees was sending around an email pushing to expose infant kids and teens to COVID, to reach COVID herd immunity. I mean, that is fucking insane if you ask me. And I guess we know about this because I guess Representative James Clyburn, he's on a select committee. He's part of the House. He's on a select committee that's, I guess, investigating the CDC and seeing if there's been political interference and shit like that. And I guess during their investigation, they came across this email. I wanted to read this email so we can get a better understanding of what's going on. I mean, this email makes Hillary Clinton's email look like a I don't even know. flowers, to be nice. So the email, because I went and looked and obtained the email, a lot of it is blacked out, so it's so you can't see. But the email is from Alexander Paul. Paul Alexander. Okay. And I'm going to read a little bit of this email, because I think it's a little bit of pretty fucking retarded and pretty scary to see what our government was doing behind the scenes and what their real motives were. This was sent around on July 4th, Saturday. So he was sending it around, and there's a bunch of people on here that are CC'd. A lot of them are blacked out. A lot of them are HHS, OS, apartment officials. So let's read this. They were having a problem with Fauci in this email too. Okay. Fauci, who is for lockdowns and the like, is now actually clarifying things by the statement today on Fox that we won't get to herd with a vaccine that actually is helping the administration. Sorry, fucking some of it's hard to read because they have like legal marks over it. He is one of the architects of lockdown, but is actually saying now indirectly that vaccine can't do it, so we will need the population to get infected and develop antibodies. The issue is, six months in, only 5% of the population show antibodies, and this means it will take 7 to 9 years to get 60% herd going. this way of lockdown, partial lockdown, open up, close down, etc. My view is, here it is, we open fully as described below, protect the vulnerable, make sensible decisions, and allow the nation to develop antibodies. Infants, kids, teens, young people, young adults, middle-aged, with no conditions, etc., have zero to little risk. So we use them to develop herd immunity. We want them infected and recovered with antibodies. Hospitals are now geared, PPP in place, ICU beds are on the ready, doctors and nurses are alert, the syndrome is crystallized, etc. Okay, so I'm not going to keep going, but what the fuck? He wants to get infants, kids, teens, young people, young adults, middle age, with no conditions, all infected to reach herd immunity. Because they know, in actuality, herd immunity, like they said, would take 7 to 9 years to get it how we were going. I mean, partial lockdown, not partial lockdown. And it would take 7 to 9 years to reach 60%. So their bright idea was to infect kids, teens, young people, young adults, middle age, and infants. I don't know, but I know a lot of kids and infants and young adults are getting it. And let's just say you do get all those people infected and you start infecting young people, young adults, you're gonna kill off a lot of our good population because you're saving the vulnerable population. I mean, I'm not advocating let's kill the vulnerable population, but I mean, come on now, killing off the healthy people is not the greatest and brightest idea either, because I do know there are kids, infants, young adults, and middle age with zero conditions that are getting affected by this, and we do not know the long term effects of having a coronavirus and the scar tissues and everything that goes on in your body. So I don't understand why this guy is pushing for the herd immunity, of pushing for the youth is the greatest idea, because for me that is the stupidest idea. I would not want my kids, teens, or any of my young people to catch it and get it on purpose to spread fucking herd immunity. I mean, why wouldn't they be honest with us about this plan? See, like, this is the thing. If the plan was so great, why isn't this public? Why wasn't this herd immunity strategy of infecting the youth and infecting everybody, infecting the middle age and everybody with no conditions? Why was that not the plan? First, they knew the public wouldn't accept it. Second, they know that it's a dumb idea. They know it would not. Sorry, that's my phone. gotta work on that. But they know that the herd immunity idea first would not be accepted by the public. I mean, that's the stupidest shit ever. I mean, who wants to get their kids fucking infected and take a chance, okay? I mean, these people aren't even taking a chance with the virus, okay? I mean, with the vaccine. You think they're going to want to take a chance with the virus? No. And they know damn well it does not actually work. We actually need the vaccine as part of herd immunity. That's what she's talking about. These people wanted to go herd immunity with no vaccine. They wanted to just build the antibodies. Fauci's not saying go get the instead of getting the vaccine, catch the virus to build antibodies, and then hopefully your body can build the antibodies and fight the viruses. If not, I guess you die. So you're taking a risk by getting the virus or taking the vaccine. So the smart way to do it, really, is catching herd immunity through the vaccine and building antibodies that way. You're not going to want to be catching the virus. That's the dumbest shit. Especially if you need your kids, teens, and young people to join in on the fucking process. And we don't even know. We don't know the long-term effects of this issue. But I thought that was fucking astonishing when I read that and saw that and the email was posted. I just can't believe that they thought that was a good idea, that they wanted to get our kids and everybody else infected so that they could reach herd immunity. They wanted to speed up the process. You know why they wanted to speed up the process? Because here's the big fucking thing. This is the main thing. This is the main driver. The economy, the stock market. The stock market is what drives Trump. Nothing else. Not a goddamn thing. Not our health. Not our kids' health. Not the healthy people here. He doesn't give a fuck about them, obviously. He cares only about one thing. The stock market and what makes him look good. And what, you know, he's got everybody thinking, believing this herd immunity because it sounds good, because it's a quick and easy approach to things. Everybody wants to get back out. Everybody wants to go to Disneyland and do their thing and go to the movies and go to the parks and do all the things that they used to do without a mask on. So the herd immunity and the quick fix is really what's selling everybody. And really, it's the bad idea. We don't see other countries just willy-nilly letting their population catching it and taking a fucking risk that way. No, they locked it down. They locked it down and they shut down the virus. I mean, there's a lot of countries that just shut it down and they kill the virus. But nope, we got people over here than the HHS, Health and Human Services, that are passing around emails trying to get our kids and everybody else fucking infected. I mean, I do not even have, I don't know the words for that shit, but it's fucking stupid, dumb, irresponsible, and it's something that government officials shouldn't be fucking passing around as a fucking idea, as even a thought. You know, we are the leading nation. We got GDP that trumps fucking everybody, no pun intended. We got the goods, you know, so we got to figure something else out. I mean, other countries did. Why can't we? Maybe if we had leaders that were all on the same page, like I discussed last episode, with the state and federal people being on the same page, maybe that'll help us instead of this fucking infect our kids, infect the youth, and let's just hope and pray everybody makes it through. Because as of right now, I see all ages getting infected, not just the older folks. If you look at a map, it's all ages. And some of them are healthy, some of them are not. So it's a risk you're willing to take, but I'm not. And I guess the government was willing to make that decision for us. So hopefully on January 20th, we get someone in there with a little bit more competence that's thinking more economically, thinking more about socially, thinking about us, thinking about the people, and not just the stock market and their buddies on making money. Because, you know, that's what they really want us to do, get back to work and start spending, be their sheep. Be the lamb, you know. They can't take in. There's no time for taking times off. You got to get your ass back to work. So, hopefully January 20th, this will all end. We won't see no more emails of people pushing around kids and infants and teens getting COVID so they can reach herd immunity. You know, we can think of something better. We can definitely think of something better. But another interesting thing I thought was very, very, very fucking disturbing. Very fucking disturbing. And once again, where I got our boy in the White House afraid of fucking Russia. So I guess Russia has been running cyber attacks on agencies for the past couple months, and we haven't known about it. And I guess we finally found out and caught them in the act. I was reading this article the other day and blatantly points to Russia, all of our agencies, again, pointing to Russia as the corporate to the hack. They're the one hacking our agencies again. And guess what? Doing nothing about it again. Donald J. Trump. Let me see this article. Yeah, I was reading. Officials did not respond. Question, critical attack. I wanted to read a little piece because this is damaging. I mean, I don't understand. I really don't. Why we can't figure out what to do with them. I mean, Russia's hacked our elections. They had put bounties on our soldiers' heads, and they even interfered in our 2016 election, and nothing is being done by our government. I find it strange that Donald Trump, he can talk about, you know, Mexico. He can talk about Trudeau. He can talk about Angela Merkel. He can talk about all these different countries. He can talk about China, you know, Xi. He talks about them, the China virus, you know. He's able to talk shit about all these other countries. But has he ever once, in these past 4 years, talked shit about China? I mean, Russia? I mean, look at the shit they have done. Look at the crap they have caused, the divide they have caused all of us. Meddling in our election. That was a big one for me. I mean, all of our agencies have approved and signed, sealed, delivered, said that they have hacked into our election. And guess what? Trump goes along with it. And then during his presidency, they come up with bounties. They say that there's bounties on our soldiers' head. Who knows if it's true or not? But if you're the fucking president of the goddamn United States, you come out and you say, if you got bounties on our soldiers' heads, that is an act of war. And if we find out that there is, we're going to come after you. We're going to either do sanctions, something. We might even start deploying troops. I mean, because this is bounty on our soldiers' heads. I mean, that is fucking disrespectful. And then now they've been hacking into our agencies again. And they've been in there for months. Who knows what information they have on all of us. Everything. I mean, who knows what they stole. But I guarantee you, they're going to use it against us down the road. They're going to definitely use it down the road. So, and then everybody is saying, all the officials again are saying that Mike Pompeo said it was definitely, Russian hackers. Today, I saw a tweet put out by him that he said it was a Russian hacker. So we got our Secretary of State that's able to confirm that it was Russian hackers, but Trump, our president of the goddamn United States, cannot say a goddamn word about this shit. So we got people confirming that they hacked us in 2016, and we got proof that they got that we got hacked shit for 2020 for who knows how long. They still don't know. We're figuring that out. Now, what did this get them? A relief of fucking sanctions. That's what they got. They have no repercussions. This is what I'm saying. Why do we, what the fuck is going on? What does Russia have over this motherfucker? Do we have a Manchurian candidate? Do we have him being ran by Putin? I mean, I don't know. But the evidence is very fucking damning. I go by what he does and not what he says. You know, even in front of him, I remember that Helsinki, when he told Putin, he got him right in front of him, and he asked him if it was him that interfered in elections, and he said no, and then he believed him. I mean, what a fucking pussy. Didn't even want to say, you know, stay out of elections, nothing. Could have said that right there on camera, in front of the world, gain some points. Nope, folded like a fucking card. So, I really don't understand. I don't even understand. You know who else doesn't fucking understand? The one Republican who doesn't understand? Fucking Mitt Romney. He had some interesting things to say about Trump on this cyber attack. Let me try to play that for you guys, so you guys can hear that. Let me hear this. Let me show this one. Here we go.
Astonishing is that a cyber hack of this nature is really the modern equivalent of almost of Russian bombers reportedly flying undetected over the entire country. National security is extraordinarily vulnerable. And in this setting, not to have the White House aggressively speaking out and protesting and taking punitive action is really, really quite extraordinary.
I mean, even Mitt Romney, a Republican, I mean, he's alarmed. I mean, we got 30 days left, and we got someone in the White House that can possibly be working for Russia. Who the fuck knows? I mean, I cannot wait till January 20th. We can bring some, balls back and hopefully put some sanctions on Russia and go after them. Get them to stop fucking meddling in our elections. Get them to stop cyber attacking us. I get it. We do it to other countries. We do with the other countries, but guess what, motherfucker? We are the goddamn United States, and nobody does it to us. That's the way I look at it. So we're gonna figure this out, guys. And let me show you. You know what? Besides that one Mitt Romney, before we go, I wanted to show you this other thing that Mitt Romney. I thought this was classic. Let me show you this other thing Mitt Romney said. This is fucking. This is also what Mitt Romney, the Republican, thinks about Trump. This is a long time ago. This is 4 years ago, I think he said this about Trump. So he's still, he works with him, but, you know, he towed the line a little bit, and then he backs off the line. But this is what he said to him in 2016. This shit was funny. I looked this up. I got to play this before we go.
From the first to conclude that Donald Trump lacks the temperament to be president. After all, this is an individual who mocked a disabled reporter, who attributed a reporter's questions to her menstrual cycle, who mocked a brilliant rival who happened to be a woman due to her appearance, who bragged about his marital affairs, and who laces his public speeches with vulgarity. Donald Trump says he admires Vladimir Putin. At the same time, he's called George W. Bush a liar. That is a twisted example of evil trumping good. Think of Donald Trump's personal qualities. The bullying, the greed, the showing off, the misogyny, the absurd third grade theatrics. You know, we've long referred to him as the Donald. He's the only person in the entire country to whom we have added an article before his name. And it wasn't because he had attributes we admired. Now imagine your children and your grandchildren acting the way he does. Would you welcome that? Here's what I know. Donald Trump is a phony, a fraud. His promises are as worthless as a degree from Trump University. He's playing the members of the American public for suckers. He gets a free ride to the White House, and all we get is a lousy hat. His domestic policies would lead to recession. His foreign policies would make America and the world less safe. He has neither the temperament nor the judgment to be president, and his personal qualities would mean that America would cease to be a shining city on a hill. I'm convinced America has greatness ahead. And this is a time for choosing. God bless us to choose a nominee who will make that.
I agree with you, Mitt Romney. We have great things ahead. I agree. And Donald Trump is about as worthless as a degree from Trump University. I agree. That was great words by Mitt Romney there. I think we're going to leave it there, guys. That's it for this week's episode. I hope you guys liked it. I really had fun, enjoyed it. And we'll be having another episode next week. You guys can always check me out at checksandbalances101.com. I have a blog. I put up some posts and my podcasts up there. And I have little things going on there that you guys can check out. You guys can always check me out on Twitter. My Twitter is Checks N Balances. That's CHEKSNBALANCES. That's on my Twitter account. You can always also check me out at Checks N Balances 101 on Facebook. I'm on there, John Abruzzi. So you guys can check me out on all those social media accounts. Or you guys can always hit my website up. If you guys also want to email me or anything, you guys can do that. I have my email and contact list on the up on the website, so you can always go there and check out and check out what's going on. If you guys have any questions, if you guys want to email me with topics or stuff that you guys want to add into the show, I'm more than willing to do that and hear from you guys and help you guys on something. So. And my email is checksandbalances101@gmail.com. So, let me double verify that for you. Yeah, it's checksandbalances101@gmail.com. So you guys have any information or anything you guys want to provide, or you guys want some topics added to the show, let me know and we'll add it in. So thank you very much, and hope you guys enjoyed. Bye-bye.